Good morning to you. On the KSRO live line with us is Bob Mulholland, who probably knows more about California politics than most other folks. Good morning, Bob. Good to have you back.
Good morning. Yes.
What do you make of the state convention not very long ago where Dianne Feinstein was really not given a vote of confidence by California Democrats?
Well, and I've been to these conventions since 1975. It requires, we started endorsing in 1990, and Dianne did not get the endorsement that year either. And then she got the nomination and then barely lost to Pete Wilson. But the convention delegates tend to be much more left than the average voter, and they tend to have a combination of people who always vote against the incumbent or hold their nose and say, can't we do better? But that has no effect on Dianne. That's just one weekend in many.
Yeah, and doesn't it make really the bottom line conclusion is not only tenure in Dianne's case in the Senate, but also how much money a candidate is able to raise, and certainly in the case of Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi, you know, that's a big factor.
Absolutely. When you run for office, you have to raise money, and by raising money, you reach out to your friends, supporters, longtime associates, etc. And if you can't raise money, then guess what? The television stations will not give you TV ads based on a straw poll at a state convention.
That's very true. Very true. And do you think it was heartening, at least temporarily, for Senator Feinstein to be sitting next to President Trump when it looked like there might be some actual movement in terms of gun control?
Well, from the average voter's point of view, who might watch TV, listen to radio, see a newspaper, that Senator Feinstein sitting in the White House is another reminder that she's working on behalf of the people of California, and she was a leader on the issue of gun safety, and especially banning assault weapons for 10 years. And for those of us who are older, remember how she became mayor in San Francisco with the assassination of Mayor Moscone. So Dianne has a long history with this issue, and very credible, and it's very credible for her to be there working with all the biggest powerful people in Congress and in the White House.
There's been a lot of positive reaction to the voices of our young people since the shootings in Florida, and it seems like there could even be movement from a number of Republicans. Do you think that will come to fruition, or is the NRA still too big a player here?
Well, it's quite interesting. As one who served in Vietnam, so I'm quite aware of assault weapons, to watch from Las Vegas to Sunny to the school in Connecticut to these kids. These kids, high school kids out of Florida, seem to have the biggest impact. Even Florida, the state Senate voted overnight 20 votes to kind of crack down, raise the age to 21. So there's signs. And the March 24th rally in Washington, D.C., we're going to do one in Chico be part of that. And I think they're going to do that throughout America.
Yeah, the March for Our Lives.
And politically, what's happening in America since Trump is elected, we've won 38, 39 races around the country, kind of that were Republicans are now Democrats. Women, and Virginia is a good example, where women overwhelmingly voted for Democrats. And I think women's response to these mass shootings is going to push more of them to the Democratic Party. And for the youth who are going to be around for 40, 50 years, it's definitely pushing them to the Democratic Party.
Well, that should make a difference when it comes to midterm elections. How do you see those play out here in California and across the nation?
Well, there's 53 House seats in California. 14 of them are held, I should say, only 14 are held by Republicans. Will the Democrats pick up several of them? Absolutely. But if Trump starts a war in September and October, and October surprise, what you call it, then obviously it could be a different turnout results. But I do think we will pick up, under Nancy Pelosi's leadership, several House seats. And that's going to be a very powerful message to other Republicans remaining in Congress.
And what about the California run for the governorship, Bob? I mean, it looked like a runaway to begin with from Gavin Newsom, and now all of a sudden on the Democratic side, it seems neck and neck.
Well, in the last couple of months, Antonio Villaraigosa, the former mayor of L.A., jumped up in the statewide polls. But then at the convention in San Diego 2 weekends ago, it was Gavin at 39, John Chung, the state treasurer, at 30, Delaine Easton, former superintendent of public instruction at 20, and then Antonio at 9. There's a good example of how the convention is not exactly representative of the state. Antonio's in the 20s with the state voters, but only 9 at the convention. Yes, it's a race to the finish, and unfortunately, in my opinion, no Republican credible is running. I would rather see a November election between the Democrat and the Republican, but right now, looks like it'll be 2 Democrats.
Yeah, Democrat against Democrat, it looks like right now. Will there be any surprises for us this calendar year in California, Bob?
Well, there's always surprises. For instance, in the House seats, do the Democrats pick up 2 or 6? And that'll be a surprise if we pick up that. That'll be the continuing blue wave. There's always a chance that one Republican in the statewide races, governor, insurance commissioner, attorney general, et cetera, could end up in a runoff with a Democrat.
Speaking of insurance commissioner, you know, Dave Jones, certainly because of what happened to us in Northern California and in Southern California in terms of the wildfires, Dave Jones had a much higher profile than most insurance commissioners do. Will that serve him?
Yes, and he did well at the state convention, but neither him or the existing incumbent, Javier Becerra, Attorney General, appointed by Governor Brown, got to 60%. So when it gets down to the ballot, I'm assuming both of them end up in a runoff in November. It's Attorney General versus Insurance Commissioner. That gives Javier a heads up, a few more points as the incumbent. As we said earlier, you mentioned earlier about money. What happens in the next 6-8 months? Who can raise enough money to get enough communication out to the voters will be key. But I think Javier is the front runner.
Okay, we'll take a look at that. And any surprises you expect come the year 2020 nationwide?
Well, me, as one who's been around for a while, I believe the Democrats should nominate a governor or former governor. Governors do best in presidential races. Obama won in 08, but he was running against another U.S. senator. Governors, whether it's Bush Jr., whether it's Carter, whether it's Reagan, whether it's Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. they tend to do the best. And Trump is now part of the swamp. So I hope that Democrats don't nominate somebody from Washington. I think
so what governor could be a cohesive nominee?
Well, we only have 16. However, this November, we're going to elect several more. So it's way too early. But I love the title governor in the newspaper for a Democrat running for president versus U.S. Senator, just to be frank.
Well, it seems historically to be true. And, Bob, thanks so much for your overview this morning. We appreciate the conversation.
Okay. Have a good day.
That's Bob Mulholland. He has been a California Democrat and working for the Democratic Party for decades, as he said. We'll see if there are going to be any surprises at the end of this year or certainly in 2020 with a national election for the presidency.